This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, bring him over. Freddie, come on over, Freddie. Freddie Roach, my main man. We're going to throw you on first. There's no waiting. Bruce said it would be disrespectful. Bruce was like, and I thought I was going to see if you would fight Bruce, actually. I thought it would be. We could make it happen in the wild card gym, son. Come on, Bruce. Come on, Bruce. Fight Freddie. I don't know. Did they play? They probably did. Throw those on, Freddie. You're styling. So here we go. So Carver High, did you want to comment at all about me starting the show ass backwards?
Well, this is what happens when we're on the road. Sometimes those things occur that way.
Is it a bad sign that I have like early onset of dementia that I can't remember any of the sponsors or things that I'm responsible for at the beginning of the show when I'm away from New York?
100%.
You know, Freddie, when I used to start the show at CBS, which is the Vatican network, it's clean. It's like the Pope type thing. So they had I had these big signs in front of me that said zero tolerance, no cussing, don't swear, you will be fired. Because I worked at Howard Stern for 7 years, and as you remember, I was the filthiest, most disgusting, repulsive, foul-mouthed, horrendous, horrible, satanic broadcaster ever, and it was awesome. Do you remember?
Well, dude.
And then they turned me into a complete wussy when I came here, but I'm still really cool. Chicks dig me. How you been, Freddie?
Everything's good, thanks.
So, I ran into you in, what is growing on this microphone over here? The Desert Fox gave me a little action tonight. It's back. We're back with our boy, the Desert Fox in Vegas. Have you ever met the Desert Fox, Freddie?
No.
Well, now you have. So I've worked with the Desert Fox for like 25 years doing fights.
Oh, okay.
So these guys run the entire thing. All these broadcasts, all these mics, all this equipment, millions of dollars, broadcasting all over. Well, I'm the only one that broadcasts all over the world. I'm the only one here that matters. Right, Bruce? I'm the only one that matters. No, that's why they put me in here at night by myself, because I'm so loud and painful. The best thing about you always know when I'm going on the air here is when everyone runs out of the media center for the night. They're just gone, and they just leave the lights on for me. And they take the ice. Thanks a lot, Bruce. No ice. But I stole some from down in the media dinner. So, Freddie, I saw you in Lipstick City, Los Angeles, Cali, at the Fury fight.
Yes.
And I was like, Freddie, I want to interview you. I just need 10 minutes. I'm going to follow you. You're like, Pharrell, I got you. And then all these people whisked you off. Like, you know, you're like King Tutankhamun. The people follow you like Moses through the desert. They split the seas for Freddie Roach. And I never saw you again.
I'm sorry.
But I got to tell you, I thought that fight was kick ass.
It was a good fight.
It was. Wasn't it? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, the energy in that fight, the crowd was great. Everything about that fight was really good. Heavyweight division was back.
Did you think, because, you know, I'm so used to going to fights here in Vegas and at the Garden in New York or the Barclays, I haven't caught too many fights in Los Angeles. What do you think of, you know, that setup at the Staples and how they put it on, the whole event around outside? Remember they had the weigh-in outside? It was beautiful. I thought it was really cool. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was a great setup, and they did a good job with that promotion. And, you know, he fought really – both fighters fought well, actually.
You are from Lipstick City. Do you favor them having more fights there? Because they used to have all these fights at the StubHub Center, which is like really small, right? The venue.
Yeah, StubHub is really small.
Where do you prefer to go to the fights? Like, because I've seen fights, you know, like when I watch Klitschko fight in front of 80,000, in Wembley. I mean, that is badass. Yeah. Have you done all over the world? Where do you like it the best?
I was there. I had the fight right before Klitschko, actually. Scott Quigg was in that show.
I remember that.
Yeah, and that was a hell of a show. I mean, you know, people say, like, boxing's kind of dead and stuff like this. I said,
my ass.
90,000 people, my ass. Is
yeah,
right.
My ass. I got to tell you, boxing will never be dead.
I agree.
It'll never be dead. So when I was at the fight, right, and Mafia and I are there, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy is kicking his ass. I'm sitting there counting rounds off. I'm texting Bruce Binka. I'm going to make some money tonight. What is going on here? Because he was beating him. He flat out beat him. Let me just say this. I need your expert opinion. The reason it was a draw was because he knocked him out twice. Like, he knocked him down with the heavy money round in the 12th. When you're a WBC champ and you got the belt and you knock some guy down in the money round with that mammoth shot that laid him out, he looked dead. To me, he looked dead. Is that why it was a draw? Because he got his ass beat the rest of the fight.
Yeah, I still thought Tyson won most of the rounds. And, you know, the best part about the fight was after when he got knocked down, it looked like he was dead, yes. And then when he got up, I mean, he had good balance. And he started throwing again. And I think he won the rest of the round, to be honest with you.
I do, too. When you saw him on the ground, because they have overhead shots, and he looked like his eyeballs were in his arse. I mean, he looked dead. He looked like he was done. Like, I saw his eyeballs rolling, and I'm going, he's done. I cannot believe he's going to lose this fight in the 12th round. Mafia and I were freaking out. I was freaking out. I just want you to know I was freaking out.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's funny. I said, how the hell did he get up after that? I said, maybe there is a God.
Yeah, maybe there is. You know what? I think there is a God, because anyone that would wear the pimp shoes that he wore into the media center at the, what was the name of that hotel? The Westin? The Westin Bonaventure. So he came to do an interview with me, and he was wearing these, like leopard leather, like, I mean, I think they were like tiger skin shoes. And the first thing I said to him was, you're a pimp. Those are pimp shoes. And he looked at me like I was half crazy, because he had never met me before. And I got a huge kick at him. What a mammoth, big, gigantic, fat ass he is. The guy is enormous. He's like 300 pounds. He'll kill you. I mean, he's huge.
He's a big guy. And for a big guy, he really moves really well. He has great legs.
He has, as you know, he has boxing skills. The way he ducks and moves and avoids contact for a big guy, because he got pillows coming off of him. Yeah. He really does. Like, he said at one point, what did he weigh, 400 pounds?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How did he get down for that fight to where he fought at?
You know,
he 267?
Yeah, something like that. But the thing is, his coach, his newest coach, had a lot to do with the weight loss, and they did a great job getting the weight off him. And I was just thinking, like, I just hope he's not doing that again and going through that again. But he's doing, like, speaking engagements now and staying busy. And hopefully the rematch, they're talking about it, but I think it's getting closer and closer.
So what's the deal? You, am I crazy that, we know I'm crazy. But did you think that, because I didn't, that was there any difference between you and the other guys in that corner that you didn't like what they were doing?
Yeah, they were being a little bit too careful. Like, the guy, he said, be careful. I said, wait a minute, be careful. We've already passed that. He's in the ring now.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing careful about being in a boxing ring.
So when you got pulled into the fight, how did that go down? And what is it like to work with people, like, that you don't really work with or know? Yeah. And, like, because you're, to me, a boxing god. I don't know these people, and I'm thinking, I was thinking, they're going to screw this up for Freddie.
But, you know, the thing is, they went up to Big Bear. They came to visit my gym, and then they went up to Big Bear, and I didn't think Big Bear would last too long up there. So 3 days later, he calls me, and asked me if we could work out at my gym. So I said, of course.
Because of the altitude, he couldn't hack it, or what?
The altitude was affecting him, and they weren't fighting in the altitude, so there's no really sense in really training up there.
So you think that's overrated?
If you're not fighting the altitude, you don't need it, yes.
Right.
So, he came down, and he was much more comfortable at the
wild card,
and he did really well getting ready for the fight, and he had a lot of good sparring, and he's a hard worker, and then his trainer would let me do the mitts with him some days, and then he would do them some days, and we'd split up a little bit, and then I went to dinner one night, and he asked me, he said, Freddie, will you work my corner? I says, yeah, sure, and I said, you know, how many guys and so forth. And I said, well, you don't have a cut man. And he says, do we need one? I says, well, I would say so, just in case.
Right.
And he says, well, can you do that? I said, yeah, I can be a cut man. So I was officially the cut man for that fight.
But if you were in the rematch, are you going to work with him again? Will you be in the corner?
I think so. We have a good relationship together, and I think I will be in the corner. Yes, but I don't know.
Do you think that they're gonna have that fight in the States or in over the pond?
I think the States is the best place for that, for the rematch, and then of course
he
does also, and then the winner will have to go to England and fight Joshua.
Do you believe that that'll happen? That this guy, Joshua, will actually fight them? Because I've never seen anyone, like, the games this guy plays. But he talks a big game, like, I'm not afraid of anybody. I'll fight anybody. Cut the deal. Let's get it done. Let's get together. And then it never happens. He's full of shack.
Maybe. But I think the winner of the rematch, whoever wins the rematch, it'll be really, really hard for him to avoid. The people will kill him if he doesn't fight that fight.
Do you think that he, because I don't think the second movie or the second season or the third season of TV shows is ever as good as the first. Do you think that the second fight could ever live up to that great fight that we saw in LA?
I think it can, because I think that Tyson can do better. I think that he is a better puncher than he showed, and he's obviously a very good boxer, but he can punch also. And I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, and I think that would be the case where he could take the other guy out. I think he has that knockout power.
All right, we'll come back with Freddie Roach. We're talking about the Fury Wilder rematch, and I'm going to talk to him about Pacquiao Broner. We're in Las Vegas at the MGM for Pacquiao Broner on Showtime pay-per-view Saturday night. Call your cable operator. Tell him Pharrell sent you. We're ready for war at the Grand Garden Arena in Sin City. We're talking to Freddie Roach. He is God on a bench. All right, we're back in Vegas. Freddie, I just told you I've done the entire interview with 1,000 popcorn kernels wedged in between my teeth, like nails digging into my gums. You know I'm pretty tough. Do you think I could hack it at the wild card?
No doubt. You've been there before.
So, I mean, I think that, like, I should have been a fighter, don't you think, Freddie?
Maybe.
No.
I get a couple good prospects. I need a couple of sparring partners.
Yeah, you need somebody to get in there and get their ass whooped. So tell me what you think of Pacquiao Broner. Pacquiao at 40. I think I've been to 25 of his fights.
Yeah.
I've seen him fight so many times, I lost track. I think I went to every Juan Manuel Marquez fight, Barrera, Hatton, De La Hoya. I've seen them all, thanks to Bruce Pinko.
We've had 69, this will be his 70th pro fight coming up.
How crazy is that?
That's a big number for today's market.
And really, have you seen any kind of, like, noticeable damage on him?
No, not at all. He's fresh.
How is that possible?
His power is really good. He's real clean liver at this point, and he takes care of himself, and he works hard. He works really hard.
How did the relationship? At one point, it stopped, right? And then he came back to you like a lover. Like, he just couldn't live without you, Freddie. I know how it works. So what happens is these guys think they can fight without you, and they find out in short order That they're not the same without you. That's what's so cool about you.
So, but he had that one fight without me, and he won by knockout. It was really good. I watched it on TV. It was a great show to watch, and I was happy to see him making all the moves that we've worked on over the years. And then he had a press conference. Then he called me, and he met at the hotel. And 15 minutes later, our deal was done. And,
why did he stop using you?
Just because I was worried about him doing too much. I said, you know, being a senator and being a professional boxer is very difficult.
So make up your mind. What do you want to do?
Yeah, what I think it'll be better for him to pick one or the other. And I was just trying to give him advice and help him out. And
do you think that he heeded that advice? Do you think that he listened?
Well, he did listen because, like, for this training camp, they gave him time to get ready for the fight. They gave him
right.
They gave him time off. So the one we fought in Australia, we trained every day after.
Was that the Horn fight?
Yeah, that was where he was in Senate. And sometimes we'd train at 10 o'clock at night. Sometimes
that fight was
BS, dude. 3 in the morning. And it was BS. He still won that fight.
He kicked his ass. Yeah. What did you think when you were down there and that happened? You must have been, did you almost keel over? I mean, that was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But
were you livid or you just didn't care?
Well, you know, you go to someone else's hometown, you're asking for trouble.
You're asking for trouble, and he got it.
Yeah, we got it, yeah.
Do you think that kid's a tough fighter?
He's a tough kid. He just won his last fight. He beat a pretty good opponent. He's not top 10 yet, but he's coming up the ranks.
The esteemed Freddie Roach with us. What do you think of Broner? I talked to him today, and it was the first time ever that he wasn't a D to me. You understand what that is?
Of course. I know Broner very well. I met Broner in his fourth pro fight, and he was actually a really nice kid, and he's been by my gym a couple of times. And he comes, "Hi, Mr. Roach, how are you?" He's very respectful, and he's not a bad kid. But now we're at opposite ends right now,
right.
And he's fighting my guy, and I have to get my guy ready for the fight.
What are you worried about with his skill?
Not much. He's more of a counter puncher. He gives us a little bit of trouble, but Manuel, you know, we've faced many counter punches in the past, and Manny knows how to deal with it. And I think Manny's punch volume will be too much for him. And I think he'll get him out of there in later rounds.
I saw him. I saw him lose. Excuse me, 3 times. I was at his 3 losses. I think I've seen the guy, you know, lose, and so. It's a rare day that I've ever seen Pacquiao lose, except the Mayweather fight was the one I was at. I've seen this guy in big fights not come up and not, you know, get it done.
Yeah.
Do you think this is another situation like that?
I'm thinking that he's going to rise for the occasion because this might be his last chance. I mean, he needs to beat somebody with a big name to you know. He tries to dictate the paydays and so forth and how much money he makes and all that.
Do you think that Pacquiao, is this inevitable that he'll fight Mayweather? Because everyone is saying that to me. All these Showtime people, they all feel that at some point, whether it's, you know, in the summer or the next, if Mayweather fights again, it'll be against Pacquiao. Do you believe that?
I hope so. I mean, I want that fight back one more time. The first fight was, you know, it was 5 years too late.
It was terrible.
But
is what it was.
Yeah, you know, it didn't live up to what it was supposed to be. Manny threw his arm out in the fourth round, and
right.
He couldn't use it after that round. And Manny, a healthy Manny Pacquiao, I feel, can beat Mayweather.
Do you think Mayweather should keep fighting?
He looked dominant in his last fight when he fought the kickboxer, but
that was a joke. What about so then? And before that was a joke when he fought the MMA McGregor and he beat his ass because that was a joke. So now that we're done with all the side freak shows,
right.
Now that we're done with all the BS, does he have fights left in him against a guy like Pacquiao? And will they give the public what they deserve since they screwed us the first time at $100 for that crap? Honestly, it was a joke. What a nightmare that weekend was.
The thing is, that's
the problem.
They
made me stay at the Excalibur. I started running around the lobby with a sword. What a dump.
So,
honestly.
Yeah.
Can you say that? I think the MGM owns it. I love that place. It's beautiful. They got a really nice pool. Their food is terrific. Honestly, I got it. The elevators work fantastic. They're fast. It's a beautiful. I've always liked parking over there too. It's quick. The valet. They're great people. Does that cover it after saying the other things, Mavi, or am I screwed at this point?
That's to be seen.
I love the MGM, and in fact, I think they're all beautiful people. And in fact, tonight I'm going to go swim in the pool naked. It's 45 degrees outside. I'm just going to do that to show them how much I love them. You coming, Freddie? You going to pass on that one?
I think I'll pass.
So I saw Broner today walking around here. Where's your boy Pac-Man? In hiding, or is he doing more Filipino, like, political stuff on closed-circuit television?
No, he was on.
Is he saving people back in the islands? What's he doing today?
He did a lot of media and stuff today.
Oh, he did the satellite interviews?
Yeah, and then he went to UNLV. And went for a little bit of a jog.
Oh, he went to UNLV and saw them lose to Air Force by 20 when they were laying 10. You mean that game?
No, he's on the track running.
They couldn't beat their sisters in the driveway. I saw they got some coach. I'm like, who is that guy? I've never heard of him. My daughter's 11. She could do a better job coaching him. I love everyone. I love everyone at UNLV. I've always been a big fan. So, Freddie, how many interviews did you do today?
A lot.
But they all sucked compared to me.
Of course.
Let's just be clear, Freddie. Hey, listen, I can't wait to see the fight on Saturday night on Showtime Pay-Per-View. I love you. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll see a good Wilder Fury 2. And last but not least, give me your up-and-comer. Who's the no-name we don't know that you're training at the wild card that's going to be a star?
Cepeda will win the world title on March 10th.
Cepeda?
Yes.
Where's he from?
He's from L.A.
Oh, he's from L.A.?
Yes.
How did he come into the gym?
Just walked in and wanted me to train him.
And you put him to work, and now he's going to go for a world championship?
Yep.
Unbelievable. Freddie, I love you. Always good to see you, brother.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Freddie Roach, of course, training Pac-Man, ready for Saturday night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.